Our lesson this morning is out of Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 16, the great value of lesser-known believers. After showing how God's righteousness is applied by faith from start to finish in Romans 1, 16 and 17, and that in Romans 1, 18 to 15, 13, the Apostle Paul gave his longest concluding remarks in any of his letters in Scripture in Romans 15, 14 to 16, 27. Remarks that apply God's righteousness in the godly believer in various very practical ways. One significant result of God's righteousness applied to the believer is how it produces great practical value in even lesser known believers in the church. So we view Romans 16, 3 to 16, that reveals a sampling of this truth for our insight, our application, and edification as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we're so grateful for the privilege that we have of the liberty of being able to meet together here. We know that many Christians throughout the world don't have that kind of liberty, and we ask that we would take advantage of it in reliance on the Spirit of God as we get into the Word of God to understand the truth that is here and to apply it for blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll read the verses and then we'll look at them. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 16. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only do I give thanks, but also the churches, all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before I was. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of the Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus, and his sister in Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. This holy kiss is very different from what we do today. It's you have to go to the Middle East to see that. What they do is they grab each other on the shoulder like this, and they kiss on the side of the neck this way, and they side of the neck this way. Today, our cultural practice is shaking hands. Okay, so it's a sin. When they say greet one another with a holy kiss, it means, you know, shake hands. Greet one another that way. It's a very different culture. But anyway, Paul's concluding remarks contain his greetings to a number of individual believers in Rome. Greetings that were accompanied by Paul's mentioning the great value of each one, both to him and to the church in general. So we're going to list these and categorize the ways these lesser-known believers were of such great value to Paul. First of all, the value of self-sacrifice. Priscilla and Aquila had risked their lives to save Paul's life, what had caused not only Paul, but all the churches of the Gentiles to whom Paul in particular ministered to be grateful. Now, we're not told any details here at this point about how they risked their lives, what the conditions were, or whatnot. But the fact that they risked their lives so Paul's life could be saved probably meant that a number of the epistles that we have in Scripture would not have been written if they hadn't risked their lives. So someday when we get to heaven, this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, we're going to be able to be grateful to them. I'd love to be able to meet these people. People who risked their lives so that Paul could continue his ministry and then write more epistles for us. That's an invaluable service. But they did it at the time. out of love for the Lord and for the Apostle Paul. The value of helping Priscilla and Aquila. They were known as Paul's helpers. We know that Priscilla and Aquila from the book of Acts, they were tent makers like Paul. They had the same trade. In those days, the father would always train his son, and their daughters too. They would trade them in a trade that they had so they could always make money. They would never be without the capacity to make a living. And Paul was, we call him a tent maker. He did. He made tents, but he supported himself by making tents. He would make them on the side and sell them. So did Aquila and Priscilla. They were of the same trade. So they were also helping Paul. Urbane was a helper who had greatly helped Paul in his work as well. Then the value of hosting house churches. Now, in this era, they didn't have a big church building like we have here. And we have a number of families that can come together and we can meet in one big building. They didn't have those in those days. They had only houses. So what you had someone with the biggest house would host. And then you have another part of the city, someone with that big house, they would host. And so the apostle, when he would come to a town, he'd go from one house church to another house church, ministering the word of God. So this was an invaluable service. Priscilla and Aquila, they hosted a church in Rome. Now, at one time, Claudius, the emperor, had kicked all the Jews out of Rome, so they went down to Corinth, and they had a house down there in Corinth, and they hosted people in their house in Corinth. And then later at Ephesus, they had a house. They hosted people in their house. So they would buy and sell houses, and they would host these Christians in their houses. Aristobulus, verse 10, he had a house. Narcissus had a house. Then Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes in their home had a house. Philologus, Julia, Nereus, his sister in Olympus, they had another house church. They hosted house churches so believers could meet together in homes. That was a great service. And Paul was grateful for that as well. Then the value of laboring. There's a woman by the name of Mary. This is not Mary Magdalene or Mary the mother of Jesus, but in verse 6, Mary bestowed much labor on us. She was a Mary in the church at Rome. She worked very, very hard. She probably washed clothes. She probably did cooking. She must have done a bunch of things. Tryphena and Tryphosa, some scholars believe these were twins, Tryphena and Tryphosa, because the names are quite similar. They did a lot of work. Persis, she labored extensively in various ways for the benefit of Paul and or of other believers. The value of faithfulness. Adronicus and Junia, likely tribal kinsmen of Paul, in that they were of his tribe of Benjamin and Israel, had been in Christ before Paul, and they had suffered imprisonment with him. Then Epaphroditus was another man who was the first fruits of Achaia. In other words, he was the first believer that came to Christ in the province of Achaia. That would be around Corinth in Greece. He might have been one of the members of the Board of Education at Athens. What did they call it? The Areopagites. So he might have been one of the Areopagites. And he was a longtime Christian. Believers who were known for their faithfulness. And that's always encouraging. The value of fellowship. Epaphroditus, Amplius, Stachys, and Persis were beloved by Paul. And Rufus's mother was like his mother. It's interesting in verse 13 where Paul says, salute Rufus, who's chosen of the Lord, and his mother, and mine. So he probably came along and saw Paul. Maybe he had been undergone a beating or something. She said, all right, you got to take those clothes off. I've got to prepare them. You take your bath in the other room, whatever. When you're done, you come out here, you get clothed, and then we're going to put some oil on your wounds. And she would just, like a mother, you know, just direct them around and help them out. And Paul was encouraged by this woman's ministry as being somewhat like a mother to him. So there are all sorts of ways for people to have been of value to Paul. And Rufus's mother was like that. And then Herodian, who was of Paul's tribe, and Benjamin as well. So fellowship is important. Then there's the value of edifying character. Paul mentions specific edifying qualities of four believers. Andronica and Junia were of note. That's what the King James Version says among the apostles. And the Greek term epistemoi, literally means having a mark on them. Therefore, they were illustrious, they were notable, they were outstanding. Now, the word apostles may be used here in the general sense, of which Barnabas, Silas, and others were called apostles, like in Acts 14:14 and 1 Thessalonians 2:7, or it could mean that the apostles in the limited sense, referring to the reputation of this pair that they had among the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus. We don't know. We'll have to find that out when we get to glory. But these were outstanding people. Every now and then you run into a believer who has a tremendous character, high character, and that's always edifying to be around that kind of a person. Apelles was said to be ton dokimon, the one approved through testing. The same word is rendered approved in Romans 14:18 and Romans 12:2. The related infinitive dokimazein is translated to test and approve. So through a significant trial or series of trials, Apelles had come through the ordeals approved of the Lord as to character. That's really, really important. I heard one time of a woman. This is a woman in China who had been persecuted. When the communists came in and they took over the area of China, they persecuted this woman. They tortured her to such an extent that she actually lost her mind, where she couldn't relate to people. But whenever you would meet this woman along the path and you greeted her in the name of the Lord Jesus, briefly, her face would light up and she'd smile, and then boom, and then it would drop back again. Because way underneath there is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was still within this dear woman. And when they mentioned the name of the Lord Jesus, it would explode, and that Spirit would come to the fore, and she'd have this big smile on her face, and then boom, drop down again because of what had happened to the brain because of the torture that she'd gone through. And it was a great embarrassment to the communist Chinese who had persecuted her, because they couldn't beat that out of her. All they could do was kill her, you know, and they didn't do that, but they were trying to change her mind through torture. But this woman had survived. Now that's a person who's gone through the trials, has come out in such a way where she's had a sterling quality, and she actually became a greater testimony after that persecution because of the way she would respond to these people when they greeted her in the Lord Jesus. It demonstrated the power of God that was in this dear woman. Ton dokimon. And then Rufus was said by Paul to be chosen in the Lord. Now, theologically, that's true of every believer according to Ephesians 1:4. All of us have been chosen in the Lord Jesus if we know Christ as our Savior. But in this context, it likely means eminent, since it was given to Rufus as a statement of distinction. There are some believers, they're the cream of the cream. They arise to the top when it comes to spiritual things. They don't even have to try, it just sticks out. And that's what this man Rufus was. So lesser-known believers whom Paul greeted displayed valuable qualities to the spiritual edification of Paul and others in the church. Qualities like self-sacrifice, helping, hosting churches in their homes, laboring, faithfulness, spiritual fellowship, and outstanding character, and being notable among the apostles, possibly even Christ's original 12 apostles, approved through the fires of severe trial by testing and eminent in distinction. So, may we value fellowship, fellow believers today who, though lesser known in the body, through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, are known for their self-sacrifice, for helping, for hosting fellow believers, for laboring, for faithfulness, for spiritual fellowship, and for the outstanding character qualities of being notable, approved through the fires of severe trials and eminent in distinction due to their lives and works. May we then recognize the work of God to disciple others with us in Christ, that we appreciate the value of the entire church. It's interesting how this lesson goes along with what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit has given spiritual gifts and dispersed them out amongst the believers. And he's done it in such a way that it makes us interdependent. He's given sometimes the greater gifts to the less people and the lesser gifts to those who are more eminent, so that there's a balance. And so that no one can say, well, I don't need that brother, or I don't, or I'm useless, and nobody needs me around in the church. No, God has done that to show the tremendous value of every individual Christian. And when we came to know Christ as our Savior, each one of us was given a spiritual gift of ability, a spiritual ability to serve the Lord. Your gift might be in teaching, it might be in oversight, it might be an organization, it could be the ministry of helps, ministry of showing mercy. Showing mercy is where you come along and help a person who's been struggling with sin in his life and needs some encouragement to get out of it, and the person who has that ministry of mercy can come along. We have a number of women who have that wonderful gift. The ministry of helps. The ministry of helps is probably the most versatile gift. It comes along and can help in any situation where there's a weakness. Where there's a weakness in teaching, they can do that temporarily. A weakness in any other area of spiritual gifting, they can come along and help. My wife happens to have that. And we have a number of people that have that kind of a gift as well. But every believer is valuable. You as a believer are invaluable to this church. Because you have a ministry, a spiritual enabling that God has given you that is unique. And that applies along with your personality. And when it's used in the church as a whole, it helps the whole church. So we should never feel that any one of us is useless. That's not true. Neither should we feel that someone else is useless. No. Every believer is important. I'm amazed, as you go through this, Paul talks about people who had helped him, people who were beloved to him. These must have been in tremendous encouragements to Paul so that he could continue in his ministry and can continue to write these epistles that we have, which are invaluable to us. And remember, Paul was just a human being. He was an apostle, he was highly gifted, but he's just a human being. And he needed to be ministered unto as well as to minister. And these people ministered to Paul. And so I'm sure that in eternity, each one of these people has an investment in Paul's ministry. And we are greatly indebted to each of these people who were invaluable to Paul because of that. So we need to, I think this is great just to stop and look at this list. And it's amazing, Paul had never been to Rome before, but the people in Rome were very mobile. They would come and go. And so these are a lot of people he had met outside of Rome, and they had gone to Rome and had ministered there. But everybody is valuable in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson itself. It doesn't have to be if there's an issue or...